Jumping in on Manx Radio
with Howard and Chris Kane.
Hello.
Good evening.
And welcome. It's that time again, 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, when jazz lovers, particularly those of a modern persuasion, tune in to Manx Radio for Jumping In, the best in modern and contemporary sounds from around the globe, with myself, H.
And me, Chris. Yes, welcome along to this week's Jumping In, and relax. Yes, you've made it through another term, and the little blighters are on holiday again. So once you've established where you can farm them out to get them out from under your feet for the next 6 weeks or so, you can breathe. Top tip, wash the uniform and sports kit now, then at least when you can't find it next term, you'll know that when you do, it's clean. So feet up, pour yourself a glass of something nice, unless they're in year 11 or 13, in which case you'll have to count the days till the results, and you should get yourself a bottle and perhaps a straw. So what have you got to report, H?
I wish. We've got the last studio recording from the great Japanese pianist Masabumi Kikuchi. I've always been a great fan. Gary Peacock loved him a lot as well, and it's reflective, to say the least. Really enjoyed that one a lot. It starts when we disappear. Pat Metheny's at it again. He's got another new one out after his foray into a sort of semi-classical world earlier this year, with one coming out in September. And very nice is two more identifiably Pat, I would say. And a blast in the past, a bit of Courtney.
And for me, well, a whistleblower's belated birthday, one who knows, a little larceny. And to get things underway, let me put you in the big picture. lovely. That not was fun. The Big Picture, and from those who know his music, pretty unmistakably from the hand of Vince Mendoza. You know how it is with artists, you like nothing for ages, and then you find three or four releases together. I was reading in Jazz Times that Vince has a new release due. In fact, I think it's just out. I haven't got it. Freedom Over Everything. So I started searching for it, only to find that it wasn't out yet, but two other releases from last year I didn't know about. And this one, which I did but hadn't been able to find, the self-titled Vince Mendoza. It was the multi-Grammy award-winning composer, arranger and conductor's first release in his own name back in 1989, but was only released in Japan at the time. What a fabulous album it is, with a lineup to kill for, including Peter Erskine on drums, Will Lee and Lincoln Goins on bass, Chuck Loeb and Mike Stern on guitars, Don Grolnick on piano, Jim Beard on keys, and a horn section including Bob Malak, Bob Mincer, the Brecker Brothers. Yeah, and great to hear a fresh Mike Brecker solo. Finally available on iTunes, don't miss it.
Terrific stuff, and yeah, an incredible talent, really. And again, not as well known as you might have thought in so many ways compared to, I don't know, some of the A-listers, but yeah, a real talent, and always nice to hear something new coming out. Speaking of which, another talent, perhaps not that well known. He has his army of, I suppose, niche fans, would you call them? Go where you will with this one. Masabumi Kikuchi. I've been a fan for a number of years. I know it's not to everyone's taste. He had a very distinctive style, sometimes sort of straight, and obviously often going into the far more abstract and always favouring the slower tempos, really contemplative, almost feeling for the notes and the sound. One of his greatest fans and longtime collaborator was the now sadly late Gary Peacock, the wonderful bass player with Keith Jarrett and so many other people, Albert Isler, if you go back into the day. And in the liner notes in 2020 to this album, which is called Hanamichi, the final studio recordings by Kikuchi, Gary Peacock notes that I first met Pooh, delightful slang name for which he's all known, Pooh, spelt as it sounds, in Tokyo in 1969, and through the years we collaborated on many, many projects. He was continually searching for his voice that he couldn't articulate with words. It wasn't until a few years before he died that his voice found him. His persistence, conviction and dedication to the muse remains a continual inspiration for me, and I think it did for Gary right up until the end of his days as well. Let's hear his take on Summertime. As you'd imagine, with Masabumi Kikuchi, an entirely individual take on Summertime, taken even slower than the original, as we were just saying there in the studio. A very, very eclectic player, to say the least, had all sorts of problems. He suffered from lung cancer and had various issues of his own, I think, to deal with throughout his life. In latter years, I think he only really played with Paul Motion and Gary Peacock, don't think many others, or just on his own. And Sun Young, who did this recording, Hanamachi, the final studio recording, says he was all struck from when he saw him in 2011 in the Village Vanguard, how he could instantly switch from playing dissonant, jagged, abstract tones to instantaneously move into some of the most beautiful melodic statements, playing with rare intuition and pacing. And his relationship went on for several years from then till the end of his death, and he organised this recording in 2013. He said, we finally went into the studio. It was a painful process. He was already suffering. He didn't have his right shoes. He was very tired. He had to have the break to sleep, or would go right back to where he left off. And we ended up with this tape. And he says, looking back, if I had a regret, it was a recording that was never released during his lifetime, as I knew it would have meant a lot to him to hold the final album in his hands. But he says, I console myself with his words to me about the music sometime after the session. Today I started to listen to it for the first time after a few months, and I found it's much fresher, almost incredible. And we're wondering about the title. In Kabuki Theatre, Hanamachi is a long, narrow, raised platform that crosses the auditorium and connects the back of it with the stage. It's the only way the actors can go in and out of the scene, where they develop a special intimate area and intimate relationship with the audience.
Yes, you couldn't have much finer noises off, could you, really? And perhaps perhaps his lack of public exposure is partially down to inefficient presenters like ourselves who struggle with names like Masabumi Kikuchi, but there
we're
we are.
Away.
Now, I did mention a belated birthday. I don't know how I missed him last week. Nonetheless, let's make up for it now. Here's the great Chico Freeman with The Pied Piper.
Thank you.
absolutely terrific stuff. I remember when that was a real favourite back in 1984 when it came out, where I think I played it in the car on cassette for about a month almost constantly. And indeed, why not? John Purcell on alto, baritone, oboe and flute, Cecil McBee on bass, the great Elvin Jones at the drums, Kenny Kirkland on the piano and the wonderful Chico Freeman, of course, on all manner of saxes, flutes and clarinets. Absolutely fabulous album. If you haven't got it, look back. It's still available. And a happy belated 71st birthday to him.
Ah, 70, oh Lord, where did the time go? I remember being that one being a hot favourite as well, on cassette, I imagine. I've got the album, and I think I have got the CD now as well, but yes, and then back in the day, of course, you'd have the album and then transfer it to cassette so that you could take it away and play it in the car and such like. And yes, I have actually binned off some of those cassettes now because I can't keep everything forever, and if I've got it on vinyl, which is back in fashion, and a CD, I'm thinking, I don't really need it on cassette as well, do I? No.
You've still got it on tapestry, have you?
Yeah, yeah. Wax disc and yeah, goodness yeah. knows what else. Not late lunch. It's jumping in. Oh, dear. Too many shows. It's jumping in with Chris and myself, H. I would like to hear from you. If you've got any thoughts, by the way, or any ideas, anything you'd like featured, or some thoughts, or any ideas for a mini series, etc., etc. Howard Kane at manxradio.com, Chris Kane at manxradio.com, Kane with an E. And always delighted to hear from you wherever you might be listening. And don't forget, of course, you can get the podcast via your usual supplier. You can go over to the Manx Radio website and click on that, whatever you like, and listen for as long as you like. Well, from going back from the 80s to something which isn't actually out yet, Pat Metheny. He never rests, does he, the man? He never rests. He still wears the sneakers, the faded jeans and the stripy top, and he has the long hair. It looks kind of a bit grey than it used to be, but still has that image, still playing as well as ever. He dipped a toe into fairly classical, his last one was at Road to the Sun, very much sort of third stream at best and really more classical than jazz. His new one coming out in September sees him return to much more what you'd call the classic Metheny-type sound, and with some young lions as well. It's coming out later in this year, but as per normal these days, there's a bit of a pre-release going on. Have a listen to a bit of It Starts When We Disappear. stuff. Goes on for 13, 14 minutes, just this one track, the opening track on his new album, Pat Metheny. It's called Side Eye. It is out later in the year, in September, I believe, due out September the 10th. You can pre-order now. And it is, as it's remarked, Pat says he's basically very understandable, you can sort of hear the Metheny sound there, I think, far more than you might have done the last couple of albums he's done, really. And he says, yes, every so often, about every 10 or 12 years, a group of new young cats come onto the New York scene. I just feel sort of I have an organic relationship with. The last time it happened, it was the likes of Josh Redman, Christian McBride, Brad Meldo, and the likes, and Antonio Sanchez, his longtime drummer. It seems to be happening again now. So he has got the likes of these younger players playing with him now. James Francis is playing on this one. You might have heard him. We featured him before on this show. And I think it was Eric Harland recommended James Francis to him and said, look, with James, you don't need a bass player. So, yeah, look out for that. Joe Dyson also features on the album. And he's starting on a world tour on September the 16th. We'll be in London, I think, next summer. Watch out for that one.
Who very much likes to get out on the road, doesn't he, Pat?
Does he?
I mean, I know when we'd seen him last, he was doing, I think, 35 weeks or between 35 and 40 weeks of the year touring. And he's always encouraged and supported young artists coming along. James Francis, fantastic keyboard player and pianist. And yes, we had his solo album on the show. And Side Eye NYC. And he said it might be a project that will pick up different young musicians around the world, which he might then put into future tours as they go forward. Now, pianist Shy Maestro is someone who has been on the show many times, but many times actually as a sideman, either with drummer Ari Hoenig's band or with fellow Erasley bass player Avasai Cohen's trio or with New York sax man Ben Wendell or indeed drummer Mark Giuliana. So it's a good thing to hear him here leading his new quartet on the recently released ECM Human. Here's the title track.
Mama,
forgotten how good that was. Courtney Pine, in his earliest days, his first album, I think, on Island Records, Journey to the Urge Within, Mark Mondesi on drums. Corking stuff. I must dig that album out again if I've got it. Listen to the whole thing. Wonderful.
Yeah, fantastic. It reminds me of the first time we saw him in Cold Harbour Lane in Brixton, which was a bit Wild West, to be honest, but
it was
a story for another time, perhaps. And before that, we heard pianist Shai Maestro in a reflective mood with Human, the title track from his new CM release. And this music, as I felt, had such a pulse, a bit like Masabumi. Its intensity and sensitivity of the playing with lots of little short vignettes within it, with his longtime bass companion George Roeder, Ofri Nehmer on the drums, and trumpeter Philip Disak, and of course Shai at the piano. Well, that's about it for this week's Jumping In, except for a track from up-and-coming London bassist Joe Downard. From his debut CD on Ubuntu Records, he's been getting a lot of plays from me, Seven Japanese Tales, which was apparently inspired by Downard's discovery of Junichiro Tanizaki's identically titled book of short stories. What a great young band this is, made up of the best of British rising stars, Alex Hitchcock on saxes, and we interviewed him on the show last year, James Copus on the flugel, Will Barry on piano, Rupert Cox on a vintage selection of synths, Felix Ambach on the drums, and Joe on bass. From Seven Japanese Tales, we'll leave you with The Thief, It's a Steal. See you next week.
Look after yourselves. It's a jazzy jungle out there.
Bye for now.
Bye.